any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The servant deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel."
The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up from David's righteous branch a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour.
In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the first time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Again, to our Christmas by candlelight service, let's begin our time in God's Word with prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that tonight, as we sing your praises and marvel at your Son, that you would reveal the Lord Jesus to us through your word. We pray that we might know Jesus as our humble King, and in turn that we might celebrate him as our one and only Savior. Guide us tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit to know and celebrate Christ at Christmas. Amen. Well, in the month of December, every year since 1927, Time magazine has picked a person of the year. This title is bestowed upon the one person that, for better or for worse, has done the most to influence the events of that year. And the editorial board of Time magazine has insisted that being person of the year is about influence and not necessarily an honor. So they'll point out that from time to time, even a few tyrants have captured the title. So for instance, in 1938, Hitler was the man of the year, and Joseph Stalin has taken the title twice. But by and large, to become person of the year is often regarded as an honor and is spoken about as an award or a prize, because the people considered for person of the year are usually the most influential and the most powerful people in the world. So for instance, this year Hillary Clinton was one of the runners-up, as was Beyoncé. Because the expectation is that the person of the year is that person who is the most important person in the moment. But at the same time that we put powerful people on the covers of our magazines, Christians make the remarkable claim. We claim that the most important person ever is not someone who came in power or splendor, but someone who was born humbly over 2,000 years ago. We celebrate the birth of Jesus every year at Christmas. And if you'll permit me, I would like for us to reflect on Luke's account of Jesus' birth from our final reading this evening. Luke's account starts this way. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now, just for a second, imagine that you were there, present over 2,000 years ago on that first Christmas. And maybe imagine that you were the correspondent charged with reporting the big stories of that year. Based on just these verses, if you were on the editorial board of the Roman Empire's most influential magazine, the big headline would have been Caesar Augustus and his census, and not this baby that was born in Bethlehem. Because Caesar Augustus was the emperor of Rome, and Rome was the world's superpower. And at this particular time, Augustus was flexing his political muscle by calling a census. He was making sure that everyone knew that he was the most important person in the world. So if you had to make a decision, Caesar Augustus would have been the conventional choice for person of the year. But while Caesar was trying to show everyone else what an important king he was, something else was going on. God was about to announce his king. And God did not announce his king from the capital in Rome, but rather God's king was announced in a little town called Bethlehem. From Bethlehem, Jesus, God's eternal king, was born to a peasant girl. From Bethlehem, God clothed himself in humanity and was laid in a manger. The important and good news of Christmas is that God entered into our world. He became one of us. And more remarkably, he was a very normal one of us. This year, Time magazine followed convention when they announced that Donald Trump was the person of the year. Now, no matter what you think about Donald Trump, I think it's safe to say that he is an individual who's quite happy to be seen as rich and famous and powerful. And he's someone who's quite comfortable with showing off and bragging about his wealth and his fame and his status. Well, at Christmas, we celebrate the wonderful news that God did not remain in heavenly glory, but rather Jesus came into our world, emptying himself of all of his status, to become one of us. And it's really quite remarkable when you think about it. Jesus has always been God, eternally. He's been co-equal with the Father, fully God. But for our sake, he didn't hold on to that status, but rather he emptied himself of all of the glory that came with being God, and he took on our humanity. He was born to a scared teenager in an insignificant town. It's really remarkable when you think about it. God came into our world and he took the most humble path to get here. And this is something to celebrate at Christmas. It's good news that God came to us and that he came by humble means. Because, by the way, this is different from every other religion under the sun. Most religions insist that God be put at a great distance from us. So God, he is powerful and he is holy and he is glorious, but God never descends to our level. The miracle of Christmas is that God is not distant or disconnected from our world, but rather that he was willing to come to our level so that we might know him. And this is particularly good news if you are someone who's come tonight and you're exploring faith, because it can be intimidating trying to figure out what it is you believe about God. But the good news is that God is willing to meet you where you're at spiritually, because at Christmas we celebrate the fact that God humbled himself. He came and he lived amongst us. And that shows us what God is like. He will come to wherever you are spiritually. And so if you're uncertain about what you think about God, the good news of Christmas is that you don't have to grasp in the dark for God, because he sent his son, Jesus, so that you would know who God is. All you have to do is look to Jesus. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. He's the exact representation of God's being. He radiates God's being. He's light in the world. And so we don't have to grasp in the dark. Or maybe you came here this evening and life feels quite fragile, because there's pain that's close underneath the surface, or difficulty that's close underneath the surface. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus entered into our world and he identifies with and meets us in all of our vulnerabilities, because he is human just like we are. God became human, lived amongst us so that we might know him and experience him in our lives. God isn't distant. He wants to know you, and he proved it when he bent down from heaven and sent his son to become one of us. God entered into the world, which is shocking, because we live in a world that is broken and corrupt. And we don't have to look very far to see evidence of that brokenness, because every night the news is full of death and violence. And we can draw on countless examples of exploitation and corruption. And every one of us knows the effects firsthand of anger, or of lust, or of greed, or of envy, or of bitterness. And the Bible says that this brokenness of the world is caused by something called sin. Sin is when we willfully disobey God and we reject his rule in our lives. And the consequences of rebelling against God are all of the terrors that we see in this world, and ultimately death. This is why we need God to come into our world and save us. And the good news of Christmas is that God did not abandon the world or us, but rather he entered into the world to save us. God sent his son into the world on a rescue mission, one that started at a manger and ended at a cross. Because at the cross, Jesus saves us by dying in our place. He died the death that we deserve, paying the price, the consequence of sin. And it's through the cross that Jesus beat sin and death so that we might live forever without sin, and so that we might be reconciled to God, have peace with God. And this is why Jesus deserves our acclaim and our attention. Because while there are plenty of powerful and wealthy and famous and impressive people in the world, I'm sure there's a few of you here tonight, how many of those powerful and impressive people are willing to put their lives on the line for others? How many are prepared to fight for our sake and be a real hero? How many could actually change that cycle of suffering and sin in the world? I think sadly we know that even the most influential and impressive people are just as incapable as we are when it comes to defeating sin. But Jesus is the world's hero. And He did give His life for our sake. And He did defeat sin and death so that we can be saved. And that is the good news that we celebrate at Christmas. In fact, it's the most important news the world has ever known, that God sent His Son into the world to save us. You know, the funny thing about Time Magazine's Person of the Year is that for such a grand title, it's one that we easily forget just a year on. Can anybody remember Time Magazine's Person of the Year from 2015? I didn't think so. Because ultimately, while the Person of the Year is often an evocative figure and the man of the moment, the title has a way of just becoming end-of-the-year trivia, something interesting but not life-changing. Well, as we conclude tonight, I want to encourage you not to treat Jesus and His birth the same way. Because while news stories fade and larger-than-life heroes diminish with time, the salvation Jesus purchased for us on the cross is secure forever for those who receive Him as their King. And unlike those who grace the covers of our magazines, the good news about Jesus is not just good news from a distant past, but that Jesus gives us good news for today, right now. We can personally receive Jesus. That's why He came. God bent down to our level. And He came to bring salvation and peace among whom His favor rests. My prayer this evening is that His favor would rest on you. Merry Christmas, and I do hope we will see you in the new year. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You sent Your Son, who lowered Himself, taking on flesh, becoming a man, living in poverty, experiencing the pain of this world, but never sinning, not once. Lord, we thank You that You sent Your Son as a Savior, and that through Him we can be free from sin and made right with You. And we pray that this Christmas, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, we would receive Jesus as our humble King. We pray all this in His precious name. Amen.